But I thought it was very appropriate, and I've been talking about the bride on my particular time. I've got a real good one, I think, picked out. Lord has, I hope. I think the Lord picked it out, but it's about something that has to do with Kereseth and some other things that I've learned since I first taught that to you. And so I'm going to do that on Tommy Brown's night. And Tommy probably won't be able to be back until December. And we're going to take a break on the 10th of December. He's having a hard time with it. Okay, here we go. The bride is called, she's chosen, and she's faithful. Now, God calls a lot of people that I think he knows won't be faithful. But it's like he saves a lot of people that he knows will be saved and won't do anything else. I mean, he operates on a basis of that everyone, he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should, but that he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should repent. That's what he wants everybody to be saved. He's always wanted that. But God is different from us in so many ways. He operates on the principle, Lord, forgive me if I've said it before and you haven't bothered me. He is so good that he operates on the principle, I'm going to do this to give them the benefit of the doubt. I think that's why he does it, but that's just an opinion, no more, no less. And whenever he says it is not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, he operates on that. And when he tells them that they should follow him, they have a choice. In other words, they're chosen. He chose them, even though he knew they wouldn't accept it. You say, well, that doesn't sound right. It is right. God isn't like us. He's so merciful. He's so good. I just am amazed. And faithful. He knows who's going to be faithful and who isn't. So he operates on that principle. But they can still make a choice because he allowed them to have that choice. And when this is all over, we'll know that they had a choice. They'll know that they had a choice. And he knew they had a choice. Now, to me, that's a perfect system. You know why I can't carry that out? I'll never have that kind of love. I'll never be able to love like him. And I'll never be like him in that I just know everything. It's like Ebenezer Scrooge, and when he was dancing around that upper part in that Charles Dickens Christmas Carol, he said, I'm a new man, I'm a new man. And the back of his gown flew up, and the maid screamed and ran out the door. If you ever saw that, it's funny. But that's the way I felt when I finally discovered this about God. And if it's wrong, God's going to forgive me because I told him ahead of time, if I'm wrong, forgive me, Lord. And he hadn't bothered me. I've been doing it a long time. Luke 22:31-33. Now, this is PJ here. This is Sister PJ. That way I can remember her name. Her name is Barbara. We got so many Barbaras in this church, we're overflowing with Barbaras. So I asked her if she had a nickname. She said PJ. So this is Sister PJ. So when, BJ. BJ? I can't even get that right. Oh, Lord. Don't you grin at me. This is BJ. I'm used to them making fun of me. No problem, poor little old me. Okay. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, Satan have this. Here's what I'm going to do. When I get the time for us to go back and eat, we're going to go back and eat. Then when I come back to this, I'll finish it. And I'll do the times like you want it done. What are we having back there?
Breakfast.
Well, breakfast ain't enough. Are we having biscuits and...
Biscuits and gravy and bacon.
Are you going to have hamburger in the
so?
Oh, you're going to have sausage? Oh, okay. You get a check. Not one from my billfold. He said, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. You say, well, he was the Lord. Yeah, but he had two wills. You say, you mean God that was in him knew that Peter wouldn't fail? Yes, I do. Do you mean that the man who was in him didn't even know the day he was coming back? I do. I think that that was the compassion of the man, the will of the man. He was the Son of Man. Bible says he was the Son of Man over and over again. It says he was the Son of David over and over and over again. And then it says the Son of God over and over and over again. How can one man be all of God there is, plus a second Adam who he made himself into in her womb and came out perfect without sin, yet with the ability to quicken? Man, that's something else. And I'm thankful to Leonard for that, because Leonard helped me a lot with that. I had a lot of it figured out, but he put the final quietus on it, and I'm thankful to God for that. He says, "And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." You say, "Well, now wait a minute." He said, I say, he's going to pray about it, but he already knows that he's going to be converted. That doesn't make any sense. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Listen to this. How many times you heard me use this? I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Now listen to this. And the faith and the life I live in the flesh, the Apostle Paul, and the life I live in the flesh, I live by my faith. No, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Well, there's your man. Here's your faith. He prayed, but he trusted all the Godhead fully. And he prayed as a man, and the man knew he would answer it. But he lived a life as an example for me. And when I ask for something, sometimes I know God will do it, because I know that's what he wanted. And so, are you learning something new? I tell you what, this is something that these two natures of Christ and everything, I've worked on this for 40 years. And I knew there was a pre-incarnate Christ. I knew all the stuff Leonard had taught, but those names out there, Lordy mercy, I didn't know all those names. And when we went through those names, I started studying those things. I said, man, I'm beginning to understand this. And now I understand it. Now I asked God, I said, can I please understand this? And I've been asking for 40 years. He says, Matthew, and I don't care how far I get in this thing. I care less. There's some points I want to make in here that at times in the past I couldn't make them. He says, when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. You know what that means. You know what, you heard it from everybody in the world. Now look at Matthew 26:25. I've preached this to you many times. He said, though I should die with thee, a different apostle adds to the account, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise said all the apostles. You know, they came to know who he was. They're in heaven right now. They're going to sit on 12 thrones judging the tribe of Israel. Don't you think when they died they were pretty special? But they had a big problem before they got there, didn't they? How many times did he turn around to them? They didn't think he could hear them and say, what was it you disputed along the way? They said that two or three times. Why did they say it? They bowed their heads and said, didn't say anything. He knew why they were doing it. It says, because they disputed among themselves who would be the greatest. Any of you think I'm the greatest? God help me. I never have thought I was the greatest, but I really thought highly of myself. I think highly of the Lord now. And when I go to the Lord, it don't take him about two shakes of a sheep's tail, and he's forgiven me, and it's passed on, and I don't have to sit there and let the sun go down on my wrath. If it seems to you sometimes I recover quickly, it's because I try not to let the sun go down on my wrath, because you're only hurting yourself. Maybe that was part of my problem with my stomach. I don't know. I'd rather blame it on a strange bug that I picked up overseas. But I did pick that crazy thing up. Converted, episcopho, to turn in mind, to change in mind, to become as it were another man. I'm not the same man I was. And I've got a lot of improvement to make. You said, did you realize that when you first came up here after you'd been here about 20 years? No, I didn't. Well, I knew I was a sinner, and I kept discovering I was just worse than I thought. But I didn't realize that was a purpose in my life, and that God let me go over those hills. I'm not saying who put the hills there that I had to go over. I'm not saying who did what. But I can tell you who didn't lead me into temptation. It was God. I can tell you who pulled me out. It was God. He said they would be willing to die to him. Peter knew he was the Son of God. Okay. Now, look up here at Peter. He says, and I say, don't overestimate your love. When I started loving you all for the first time, I mean really honestly loving you, I overestimated my love. I thought, well, you finally love them. And I thank God over and over again for it. But I still had a carnal nature. I overestimated my love. And I underestimated God's ability. And I really thought I had gotten to some point in time where I wouldn't really be too bad anymore. T-O-O, too bad anymore. Matthew 16, 15, 16. I didn't think I could live above sin. But I thought I had learned to love you. I hadn't. I'd learned to love you, but as Don Smart would say, about that much. He saith unto him, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And as such, Peter thought he loved him with all his mind, heart, and soul. Don't overestimate your love. I got in an argument with one preacher in the church a long time ago that I can't love him with all my mind, heart, and soul because I have a carnal mind. My heart is deceitfully wicked above all things in that carnal nature, and my soul is trying to grow up from being a very childish Christian. And I finally just dropped it because I was nervous as a cat on a hot tin roof every time I pastored about something that I preached that was going to be wrong. Luke 10, 25, 28. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? Jesus wanted him to say it. He did a pretty good job. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. If you're going to preach God's word, you've got to have to learn to be honest with yourself. And you got to realize that until you draw that final breath and all of a sudden you separate from that carnal nature, you can't even start to do that. You can improve because God can change you. God can help your soul grow up like the child Jesus did. He never sinned. But he grew up without sin. He didn't do what the first Adam did. He grew up a perfect man without sin. Well, my brother believes Jesus had a carnal nature. I just finally quit arguing with him. I said, no, he grew up as the Son of Man. He had a perfect nature. He was God's Son. God formed him in the womb, and he came forth as a perfect man and the perfect Son of the living God who fulfilled all three offices. That's what happened. And so that's what you're here for. That's what I'm here for. I need to grow up. You say, well, good grief, you're 83 years old. Sometimes when my carnal nature gets a hold of me, I'm like about a two-year-old child. Mine. No. And I'm trying to control it so I can act spiritual, and I'm putting on an act. You say, oh, we don't want you as pastor anymore. Well, the worst one will be worse than me because he won't tell you the truth. Now, he says, and like I say, this is just something we'll just go along because I'm anxious to eat. Well, how is everything back there? Okay. Did you do those sausages outside?
I need bacon.
I like bacon. Because you're Robert's wife. He says, for Christ, thou hast answered right. He said, this do, and thou shalt live. He knew he couldn't do it. He knew he couldn't do it. But that didn't stop him like he acted like he could. What if that man, who was a lawyer and certainly a Pharisee, probably, or he could have been the other one, it doesn't matter. But that man didn't want people to throw him out of the Sanhedrin for false doctrine. You can't do this. And that's the whole purpose for the law. For the law was a schoolmaster to lead us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith in Jesus. Plain and simple. I'm going to try to make my messages more simple without getting constipated. I'm sure glad I did. He said, but the righteousness, he said, you've heard this many times, and I love it. I'm trying to act like you, Ken, because they seem to like your preaching. I love it. Bless your little old heart. You can take it, Ken. You can give it, too. Now, I know that. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. That's the end of me trying to be as righteous as Jesus. That's the end of me thinking in my heart, I can't love the Lord with all my mind, all my might, all my heart, if I just, my heart is the flesh. And sometimes people who are saved, they try so hard, they say, well, maybe that doesn't apply to me. It applies to everybody. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law. Now, and you can put anthropos in there, woman, if you want to, for man. That the man which doeth these things shall live by them. What's he talking about? Well, he can't be talking about normal life, can he? It's eternal life. He said, you want eternal life? He said, okay. He said, you just do these things and you should go ahead and do it. He's natural live, and it has to be talking about eternal life. But the righteousness which his face speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above. Oh. I had a preacher one time told me, preached it, that anybody who believed that he descended up and came back from the earth to heaven, that was blasphemy. So I didn't say a word. Because I knew what would happen. And I just let that preacher go on and on and on. Why? Because I knew if I yanked him by the tail and just flat told him, stop preaching that, he would tan my hide. He would harm me. And so I was a coward. Jesus didn't need any help. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I have confessed with my mouth the Lord Jesus. I believed in my heart that God has raised him from the dead. How many times have I told you? How much faith does it take? You wouldn't pray to a dead man. That's what I've preached for years. You wouldn't pray to a dead man. You say, well, that's not faith. That's what faith is. He's not dead. So you're praying to somebody can hear you. You say, well, maybe I didn't do it right. Maybe I didn't say it right. Maybe I wasn't sincere. Listen, if you called on him to save you, I guarantee you he heard you. Because that's exactly what he said he would do. And you believed it because you thought he was alive to hear you. He is. God didn't make this complicated. I get worried about some of this stuff that I've taught, you know. I believe it's right, but God didn't call us to be complicated about the gospel. And you don't have to be complicated about the gospel. And you don't have to go off on all sorts of tracks. This is plain and simple. It's not hard to understand. He says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Heart. A heart is a combination of the soul and your spirit. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. What did my soul do the minute it felt God had saved it? Did I feel he saved me? Well, did I run up and down the pew? Did I speak in tongues? No, I was just happy. Happy, happy, happy. I'd had a great weight lifted off my shoulders. And I didn't understand it. I felt free. I hadn't felt that way in 4 years. And it does have feeling in it. But some people are not emotional. Some people are just like, I know old Bob Sedgley was saved, and he worked for me when I was in the High Wycombe Weather Center. And old Bob was he didn't work for me. We both were about the same rank. And that's not right. There I go again. Well, anyway, Bob was the calmest fellow I've ever seen. We did have tornadoes over there. And that's what Colonel Miller wanted me for, to forecast tornadoes, because I did severe weather forecasting. So I was in charge of the night shift, and he was in charge of the day shift. And later on, when he got transferred back to the military weather warning section of the Air Weather Service, which was in Kansas City, they gave the military a section, and Colonel Miller was the joint creator of the Faubush-Miller Index, which is famous in meteorology. And he wanted me on that night shift there. And so I worked the night shift, and they gave me foreign officers to train. And he did the day shift. So that's how I got back there and how I got to know Colonel Miller. I've had an interesting life, and he trained me, and he knew a lot more about forecasting severe weather than I did. I don't know if he taught me everything he knew, but boy, he taught me a lot, and I sure did appreciate it. Now, it says, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. So this is something that Bob Sedgley. We did have tornadoes over there. And we did have lightning strikes. And I had one hit about from there to the corner of this church, right in front of me, on the concrete. Man, I was shook up for a week. I was walking back from the mess hall there at High Wycombe. And Bob Sedgley, if it had been that lightning bolt where I was, or if it had been a tornado that was approaching at about half a mile away or less, I tell you what Bob had said. Boy, that was pretty bad for the lightning. And he would have said, hey, Mac, here comes a tornado. And he'd have used about that tone of voice. So salvation is not a matter of people get excited about it. It's excitement in here. It's excitement in here. My heart had been under a burden for 4 years. And finally, it was gone. It was gone. But it came back the next day. Because I lied to my grandmother. I took some of her cookies. And we had company coming in. And I loved every one of them. And I realized, well, I've lost it. And I started wondering why. I thought, maybe I didn't. Maybe I wasn't sincere. Preacher said, if you're not sincere, it won't work. He'd said that many times. And said, you know, he said, you got to be sincere. And I thought, maybe I wasn't sincere. And then I said, what's sincere? And so finally I said, I did what he said. And then I went back and I talked to him for a while. And after a while, he admitted, he said, okay, Tom, he said, This is the one that led me to the Lord. I'd already been saved, and I didn't talk to him very long, but he said, no, you're okay. So I didn't have a problem from then on, and he showed me some scriptures and showed me, and he taught me right there. And when he taught me, I knew. How did I know it was true? Because he showed me, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Why do you think I use that scripture so much? And he taught me that. You say, well, who taught him? God. You say, well, how did he use what God gave him? That's his work. It's not mine. That's what Peter said. And Lord, what shall this man do? And, you know, what other men do, I sat and listened to them. I've listened to messages that were pure heresy in missionary Baptist churches and never said a word. I've listened to messages that in other missionary Baptist churches. I never have listened to one like that here, but I've listened to one in other churches. And then I've seen an invitation given, and 15 or 16, I don't know, I lost track. It was either 15 to 17 songs, things of Just As I Am. And it was a children revival. And when the first one broke, they broke like the Jordan River. And boy, everybody just bragged on that message. Yeah, Sam, you really got that one across. No, it's wrong. And even I was a preacher then. I won't tell you which church it happened over there, but it was on the other side of the river. And I was amazed the preacher let it go on. But it looked good. John 21:15-17. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest agapas. That's the way Jesus loved. And I don't guess I've ever loved like that. I just don't think I have. I think I'm like Peter. But Peter didn't get out of the ministry, did he? Thou knowest, and he said, yea, Lord, thou knowest more than these. The things up there he was going back to catch. The things that he had gone a-fishing. He'd gone back to his old profession. You don't know how many times I wanted to go back to my own profession when I first came up here. We've had trouble. But who? Why am I still here? God Almighty. That's who, why. And because I was more afraid of him than I was of what I was going through. He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I phileo you. Aha. He didn't say agape. Peter at least told the truth. I admire him for that. That's like, I loved, when I first met Imogene, I didn't know how religious she was, but I actually asked her to marry me on the first date. I did. I'd never done that before. I usually went with a girl for a while, and some of them were as crazy as loons. I could tell you some stories that would make your hair stand on end. And I'm not going to say that, because a lot would be reported to Terry. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. Well, those little lambs, I'm supposed to include in my messages some things that little lambs can understand. That's what I try to do. And I always get out of the end, I do what they can understand. They're young Christians. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest agapas, thou me. That's God's love. He saith unto me, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I phileo thee. He still said, no, he said, I love you like a brother. You know, I love my brother, even though, Lord have mercy, we're so far apart on what we believe about Jesus. But I love him. And I ran around, the guys I ran around with, I loved them. And they were Catholic. That didn't have anything to do with their religion. I loved them. I love all little children. And I'm not a, whatever, what do you call is that? Pervert. But I love little children. And I worried about that when I first started going back and talking to the kids back there. I thought, all this perversion is going on, and I'm a minister, and they're going to think I'm a pervert. Man, I'd kill a pervert. I'd kill him personally and then tell the Lord, I don't know where I hit him. I forgot. He said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I phileo thee. He saith unto him, shepherd my sheep. Listen, you're sheep, and I'm your shepherd. And I'm supposed to look out for you. And when Jesus, when the scripture says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, right above that it says, and be not concerned with your own things, but be concerned with the things of others. I am concerned what happens to you. I grieve with you when you lose someone that you love. God, I miss Cecil. And I grieved with you because I couldn't imagine how you felt. I knew how much you loved him. And I grieved when Paul left, your mother, when she died. But he grieved. Lord, he grieved. Elsie, I called her Elsie the Borden cow. And I loved her. She was just unique. But look what God did for him. He gave her Anne. Now, he's going through something now. Believe it or not, what happened to his first wife is going to help him with the second. I mean, and he can comfort somebody that loses a wife a lot more than anybody else. So can I. I couldn't when I did, and I apologize to you for talking about Imogene all this time, but I can't get that little rascal off my mind. And I asked God to tell her hello every once in a while. And I ask him every once in a while, Lord, if it's possible, I may not get to live where she is, but I sure would like to. You think that's wrong? Well, I don't mind at all. Go ahead. That's what I want. And God knows it, and who knows? He winked at some things. Maybe he'll wink at the fact that she was a better Christian than I was. He says, he saith unto him the third time, the charm. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest. Now look what Jesus said. Philetus, thou me. You notice he didn't chew him out. Why? He told the truth. Sometimes people don't mention that. He told the truth. What is the most important thing for a preacher to understand? To tell the truth. What did I say over here? Don't exaggerate your love. Don't exaggerate it. Well, do you think that now, when I talk to you, I phileo you? Yeah, but that's pretty good. I can't love you like God loves you, because he agapes you. But let me put it this way. I know I can't do it, but I'm trying. I think that's all that God requires. For a pastor to be truthful, and Peter was truthful. And I would have been right there in the back with those fellas. And I would want to be the greatest among them. So did Peter. And so said they all. But you know what? I feel a whole lot better about telling the truth than I do about overestimating my love. And tell you that I love you like God loves you. Man, his love for you is fantastic. And when somebody leaves this church, if he wants them back here, he'll bring them back here. If he doesn't want them back here, he won't bring them back here. And you know, when I pray and ask God about things like that, I say, Lord, you know what I want, but you know how silly I am and how unlearned I am in these things. And I said, whatever you decide is what I want. And then I go ahead. And I think God takes all that into account. He says, don't underestimate your love. He says, feed my sheep. Now, when he says my sheep, he means all of them. The first one were little lambs. The second ones here were those who needed to be shepherded. We've had people in this church, and I've gone to visit them. I've talked to them. You don't even know about it. This was back when I had legs. And I would shepherd them. I'd talk to them. I tried to preach message that would help you to see what a pastor's supposed to be. He's supposed to be a shepherd. He's supposed to feed the lambs. And he's supposed to feed the whole flock. How in the world do you do that when you're... And so I always am happy when somebody preaches a message for kids. I always try to on the end, but it's a very difficult assignment. You say, well, what did you do about it? I'm a shepherd. I feed lambs. I feed flocks. And for all those years, who do you think made me put salvation ditties on the end of my blow up the world? My assignment, my job, I know what it was. It was to warn them of the wrath that's to come, and it was to tell them that Jesus saves. And I always put a salvation message on the end. Yes, I'm a God-called preacher. But it took me a long time to learn that. And I'm still learning. This church is still learning. Don't overestimate your love. Well, look at all we got to go. I'll stop right where we were. Oh, it's just 15 after. Well, a fool. Let's go back and eat some of that stuff. I feel more relaxed than I have in years.
Yeah. Good stuff.